88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in. A character that back in the day had 3 radio series, as well as books, movies, and almost 300 short stories. A very popular character indeed. And if you enjoy this episode, please check out volumes 1 and 2 in the archives. And as always, if you enjoy this show, please follow the podcast. And if you do follow, it would be great if you could take the time to rate the podcast. It's easy to find. In the About page, there is a star with a number by it. Just tap that and give it a rating. Small things like that really help out the podcast. And don't forget to check out the links in the description that lead to my email, my social media accounts, my website, and my store. And lastly, I like hearing from you guys. So please, comment below. A disclaimer though, for some reason Spotify doesn't allow me to reply to any of the comments that are already there. So just know that when you do comment, I can't answer back. If you'd like to have more of a back and forth conversation, the best places to do that would be my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com. Or even better, on Twitter, you can find me at mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, or Instagram, mysteryfrequency. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. If some of you have wondered where Mike Shane has been during regular office hours the past few days, you'll find the answer on the front page of this evening's San Francisco papers. That's right, the murder trial of Jack Holmes. At this moment, which is along about 6:30, Phyllis Knight has one of those newspapers spread out on the desk before her. As she glares at the headlines, Mike is talking on the phone to Inspector Faraday.
Yeah, Faraday, yeah, I just got back from court.
Didn't take the jury long to decide. Less than 2 hours, Mike.
That boy is no more guilty than I am. Sure, somebody killed the watchman, but not Jack Holmes.
Now, don't take it so hard, Mike, just because his sweetheart hired you to investigate.
All right. Maybe I'm sentimental about those two kids, but I say Jack Holmes isn't the killer type. And with a nice girl like Janet Miley... Oh, Faraday, I let him down, and Janet was so certain I could help him.
Take it easy, Mike. You did your best. Evidence was against you.
Yeah, sure. You're sure it was. Is that unusual? Why, I've cleared dozens of guys when it looked like...
Janet,
like...
what's wrong?
Hello, Mike.
I'll talk to you later, Faraday. The girl's just walked in.
Janet, are you sick? You're white as a sheet.
Here, get her some water, honey, quick.
Yeah. Mr. Shane.
Yes?
Jackie.
Yeah?
Jackie.
Now, here, sit down, honey. Let me help you.
Oh, the poor kid. She's all unstrung about the verdict.
No, it's more than that. Her hands are like ice.
He didn't do it. I just... discovered
what?
The grocery.
What? Janet, what are you trying to say, honey?
My room. Somebody went through.
Huh?
Oh, my chest.
Here, Janet, drink this water. Janet?
12:15. I just discovered. I went and told him, thought he would.
Mike, she's fainted. I'm going to call a doctor.
Phyllis.
Yeah?
Call Inspector Faraday. She's dead.
Okay, Mike, I fixed it. We can go to Jack's cell now.
All right. Now remember, honey, not a word about Janet's death. Jack will go all to pieces and we'll learn nothing.
I know, but it seems so hard-hearted.
This way, kids.
Ah, boy.
Sad business, eh? Guess the girl figured after that jury's verdict she didn't have anything left to live for.
Suicide? No. If Janet found something she thought would clear Jack, she certainly wouldn't take poison.
Unless she took the poison before she got the information that would clear Jack.
Hmm? No, then she would have called a doctor. If we can believe her dying words, she went first to some man, told him her discovery, then came to us. She didn't even know she was poisoned.
All right, but who did it? We only knew what she was trying to tell us.
Better pipe down. That's Jack's cell with a jailer standing outside.
Oh, yes, sir. Now let me do most of the talking.
All right, Morrissey, open it up.
Yes, Inspector.
Hello, Jack.
Hello.
How do you feel, Jack?
Oh, top of the world. It's so cheering to be condemned to death for a crime you didn't commit.
You had a fair trial, my boy. The jury could decide only on the evidence presented.
I told them I left the warehouse that night way before it happened. At 12:15, I was at home. But no, they take the word of that cab driver.
He did pick you up at the warehouse door, and he said the clock in the drugstore read 12:15. I checked the clock myself the next day. It was an electric, right on time.
So did I, Jack. Unless the cab driver was lying, and he seemed like an honest guy.
I see. Even my loyal detective, Mr. Shane, says I'm guilty.
Oh, no, Jack, you don't understand.
Go ahead, say I killed the watchman. Say I stole the diamonds. You never were working for Janet and me.
Yes, we were, Jack, and we still are. That's why we're here. It's about Janet. She's not so good.
What? What are you trying to say?
She came to the office a little while ago and tried to tell us something, some new evidence she had found, but, well, she got sick.
What's wrong? Is she all right? Where is she?
Now, easy, son, easy. She's still at the office. She said a lot of mixed-up things, Jack. Her room had been ransacked, something about a grocery, that you weren't guilty, and she had discovered proof and told him so.
Him? Who's him?
Oh, that's what we don't know. Does Janet have any close men friends she might go to?
Not that I know of. We've been engaged for almost a year now. She never mentioned any. Our boss, Mr. Phillips, is a good friend of both of us.
Yes, yeah, he's paying the fee on the case. She might have gone to him. Or maybe to his partner.
Mr. Russell? Oh, no. Not that old crap.
Well, why come to me? Janet's the one to tell you.
Well, as we said, Jack, she's all busted up over this thing, and she isn't well.
Well, she can talk, can't she? Can't she?
Jack.
I can see it in your faces. Something's happened to her. What is it? Tell me.
She's dead, isn't she?
We're awfully sorry, son.
I see you went out to my home, Mr. Shane.
That's right, Mr. Phillips, and your wife told us you were working at the office this evening.
Yes, Russell and I spent so many days in court on the trial. We had to work evenings to keep up with business.
Now, I wouldn't imagine there'd be such a turnover in the wholesale jewelry line.
You'd be surprised. Our firm cuts and mounts gems for at least half the better jewelry stores in the city.
Then the robbery and loss of the diamonds didn't hurt your trade.
It would have, Inspector, except for the capture and trial of Jack Holmes. Of course, we're covered by insurance. If you'll step into the office.
Oh, Mr. Phillips.
Yes, Bauer?
May I see you a moment, sir?
Yes, excuse me, please. Go right into the office.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, Mr. Russell. Mr. Russell?
Good evening.
I believe you and your sister know Inspector Faraday.
Of course. Yes. How are you, Inspector?
Fair enough, thanks. So the lady executives work nights around this company, too.
If she's the treasurer, she does.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. And now, Mr. Shane, I suppose you'd like your fee, now that nothing more can be done for poor Jack.
Well, I'd hardly bring Inspector Faraday along just to collect a check, Mr. Phillips.
Well, I assume...
The case is cracked wide open again. Janet Miley has just died.
What?
Janet?
She was poisoned.
She staggered into our office about an hour ago, gasped out a few words, and she died.
I was afraid of this. Remember, Anne, I said to you, if the jury brought in a guilty verdict...
It wasn't suicide, Mr. Russell. I said she was poisoned.
Poisoned?
Her dying words were that she'd found new evidence and that she had gone to him, some man, and told him.
Well, of course, she came to me, but she didn't say anything about evidence.
What time was this, Mr. Phillips?
About 6 o'clock. She was crying and hysterical. Begged me to help Jack to get a retrial or an appeal. I tried to comfort her.
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips, but I thought you'd like these invoices.
I'm very busy, Mr. Bauer.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll leave them here on the desk.
If Janet found any new evidence, it'd hardly be likely to clear Jack Holmes. I'm pretty well convinced that young man is a born criminal.
Mr. Russell, that's unfair.
Is it? Look at the court testimony. Phillips and I found shortages in Jack's account books. We called him back to the office that night to explain. He couldn't. Said he wanted to spend the night checking back through his records. Phillips and I left. Next thing we know, 1,300 carats worth of diamonds are missing... Night watchman's found dead.
You never found the diamonds?
Of course not. He hid them.
I'm afraid it's true. The watchman's clock was smashed. It stopped at 12:10. The cab driver picked up Jack at 12:15.
Mr. Bauer, would you mind leaving the room?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
He's new here. Bauer is the nosiest secretary I've ever hired.
Bauer! Now I remember.
Remember what?
Well, I was in the outer office this evening. When Janet came out of this room, Bauer stopped her. I heard him say something about going out to a bar and having a little chat.
I'm going to call him back.
A bar, eh?
Do you suppose the poison was slipped into a drink?
Mr. Bauer. Oh, Mr. Bauer, hold up. Stop.
Hey, Inspector, what's wrong?
He's running for the front door.
He's
We'll return to Michael Shane and his adventures in just a moment. Week in and week out, a lot of motorists go along wondering why their engines lack power without realizing that much of their trouble may be due to dirty or worn-out spark plugs. Yes, that's right. Defective or worn spark plugs are to blame for a great deal of poor engine performance. For example, engineering tests show that faulty spark plugs can waste one tankful of gasoline out of every 10, which not only cuts down your mileage, but causes your engine to lose power. So, friends, if it's been 3,000 miles or more since your spark plugs were checked, or if your engine has been losing power, it's a pretty safe bet that the Union Oil Minuteman Spark Plug Service can do you some good. Union Oil spark plug inspection is scientifically performed. The condition of each plug is carefully measured on a special machine, and you can see the results for yourself. If your plugs are dirty, the Minuteman will clean and adjust them. Or if new plugs are indicated, he can quickly install them. The cost of this service is only a few cents per plug, and you'll soon save that in extra mileage. You'll find Union Oil Minuteman ready to serve you wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. While Inspector Faraday hurries off in pursuit of the fleeing Secretary Bauer, Mike and Phyllis have set off on an errand of their own, and now in the hallway of a certain apartment house.
Here we are, 327.
Mike, that Secretary Bauer, he's tied into this somehow. Snooping around to hear what we've said and then running from the inspector.
Well, I'll leave that problem to Faraday, Angel. Well, this place looks all in order. Hey, wait a minute, honey. It's the bed. It's not made up, it's cut to pieces.
Yeah, the stuffing pulled out of the mattress. What on earth were they looking for?
Let's go here, let me see. Oh, the bathroom.
Mike. Look at the medicine cabinet. And the floor.
Uh-huh. Bottles and jars scattered all over the place.
Oh, every one of them with its top off. Look at this cold cream jar. Here, the cream's been scooped out and dropped all over the basin.
Huh? Oh, that's an old trick, honey. Hiding gems in a woman's makeup.
Mike, you don't think Jack... But she had the diamond.
Well, somebody thought so. Maybe she did. No. No, that dress, that's too dizzy. Well, come on, let's check the other room again. Here. There's something worth looking into. A desk.
Yeah, somebody else found it, too. Drawers yanked out of it in the mess.
I doubt if there's anything left for us, but I'll double check. 2, 13. No. No, just the usual stuff. Say, how about that wastebasket, honey?
How about it? Here.
Huh?
Put in my thumb and pulled out a thumb. What a big girl am I.
Yeah. A check torn in half. Paid to the order of Janet Miley. $2,000. And signed by... Well, I'll be a...
Anne Elizabeth Russell. I think this note went with it, Mike. It's the same handwriting.
Janet, take this and do as I say. That's all. Take this and do as I say.
Which apparently Janet did not. $2,000 is a rather expensive note, thanks.
Well, step this in your purse, Angel. We're about to go places and ask questions.
You know, if you ask me, Miss Russell...
What? Listen to the door, quick. Snap out the lights. I'll flatten against the wall. I'll jump him when he comes in.
No, don't
mind. All right, buddy. Come on, up with your hands.
What?
Let go of me, you dope.
What?
Faraday.
You?
Yeah, me.
Oh, I thought you were chasing Bauer.
Got away. I phoned Phillips for Bauer's home address. Turned out to be a gas station.
Oh, a phony, eh? Well, we've got a lead that may be better. Come on, let's go.
Give the doorbell another push, Mike.
You know, I wish these people would stay put. First they go to their homes, but they're working at the office. Now they're not at the office, they're home.
Somebody's coming now.
Yes? Oh, it's you again.
Don't strain your enthusiasm, Mr. Russell. May we come in?
Yes.
Mr. Russell, we would like to talk to your sister.
And? Oh, well, she's upstairs.
Will you ask her to come down, please?
Yes, if you'll go into the living room. Anne? Oh, Anne, will you come downstairs? May I ask what you people want?
Oh, you'll hear it. Oh, by the way, sir, I believe your sister is treasurer of your company?
She is.
For how long?
6 or 7 years.
How long was Janet Miley with your firm?
Several years. She worked in the same department with Jack Holmes. Look here, I insist on knowing what this is about.
Alfred?
Stay in here, Anne.
Oh, so you're all back.
Yes, these people say they want to talk to you, Anne.
Phyllis, give me that check and note.
Ready and waiting.
Miss Russell, would you look at this note and check, please?
So Janet gave them to you. What did she tell you?
Right now, I'm more interested in what you told her. What was Janet to do for your $2,000?
And what's the meaning of this?
I was merely trying to save you from yourself, brother dear.
Save me?
I've watched you for a long time, Alfred.
What is...
I saw the way you were mooning around Janet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, don't you? I know you proposed marriage to the girl. And now with Jack out of the way, you thought she'd say yes. But I'm not going to have another woman in this organization. I have trouble enough as it is.
That doesn't explain the $2,000, Miss Russell.
Of course it does. I offered her the money to get out of town and not come back.
And what right had you? You're not running my life.
Well, this puts a new slant on everything. Could be that Russell wanted Jack out of the way so he could have a clear track with Janet.
Mm-hmm. The diamond robbery might have been conveniently arranged.
That's a lie.
If Miss Russell didn't want her brother to marry Janet, and the girl wouldn't buy off, then perhaps Big Sister thought of another way out.
You mean the poison root, Phil?
How dare you! You
mustn't. I know some naughty names, too.
Oh, surely, Mrs. Shane, you've got some brains. You don't believe such insane twaddle.
Are you referring to my colleagues, Miss Russell, or to your story?
No.
It could be possible you and your brother Alfred have been putting on a little act for us.
I'll answer that remark, Mrs. Shane, but right now you're wanted on the phone.
What? Oh, thanks. Hello?
Mr. Shane, this is Bauer.
Yeah?
I've got to see you at once.
What? Where are you?
Listen. I have the real dope on the murder. Meet me at the old Dutch windmill in Golden Gate Park.
What time?
Let's see. It's just about 10 o'clock. Make it 10:30. And come alone. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, Bauer.
So it's Bauer. Where is he, Mike?
Shh, quiet, Inspector. Well, Mr. Russell, I think we'll be running along. If we have any more questions, we'll be back.
I'm sure you will.
No, no, please. Don't bother to see us to the door.
Mike, where are we going?
Golden Gate Park. Bauer wants to talk to us secretly.
A great secret with somebody listening on the line.
What? Who was listening?
Miss Anne Russell on the extension phone right in the hall here. What time is it, Mike?
10:28. Now keep back in the shadows with Faraday.
Oh, this guy Bauer certainly picked a dramatic spot to meet the old Dutch windmill in the loneliest corner of the park.
Not to mention spooky. Look at those four huge veins above us, like the arms of a giant hovering over our heads.
Oh, Angel, your poetry picks the doggondest times to bust loose.
Well, I can't help it. I'm nervous. What time is it now?
10:29.
I don't know. This may be a trap. Bauer may be after you, Mike. I don't like anything about that bird.
I don't like anything about tonight, period.
Shh. I see a light through the bushes. Car's coming around the turn.
Got your gun, Mike?
I'm all set. Now keep back in the shadows.
It sounds like he's driving fast.
What was that? Sounded like a gun.
Why, Grandma Faraday, your nerves. Here he comes.
Mike, he's passing you. Mike?
Hey, Bauer!
Bauer! He's skidding.
Is he hurt? Is he hurt badly?
Can't tell yet. Open his shirt, Mike.
That's a waste of time, Inspector. Look at the back of his head.
Oh, guess I was right. We did hear a shot.
But who would do it? Who knew he was coming here to talk? Oh, that phone call.
Yeah, Anne Russell. Well, I guess there's no mystery about this killing.
Hey, Faraday, here's his wallet. Maybe it will answer a few things for us.
Let's see.
Well, what is it? What is it? I'm old enough to be told.
Mr. Bauer wasn't any ordinary secretary. He was an insurance detective.
Planted in that office to find the missing diamonds.
Well, then maybe he ransacked Janet's apartment.
Yes, he did. It says so here in his pocket notebook. Search girl's room, no evidence, no jewels. Janet went in to see Phillips. Something's up. Took her to bar. Told me to check on mistake. 12:15.
12:15. Mike. Remember?
Huh?
Janet tried to tell us something about that.
12:15. That was when Jack was picked up by the taxi driver.
Yes, according to the clock in the drugstore window. Inspector, let's telephone the coroner and then...
Then what?
Go take a good look at that clock.
Oh, this is a waste of time, Mike. I checked that clock the day after the robbery.
So did we, Inspector, before the trial began.
It's an electric. It keeps perfect time. It couldn't be wrong.
Save your breath, pal. Mike's in another stubborn spell.
No, the drugstore's closed for the night.
Yeah, but there's the clock. You can read it 100 feet away. Neon hands, neon numerals.
It says 11:10. What time have you got, Faraday?
11:10. Now are you satisfied?
Jack came out of the jewelry place 2 doors north of the drugstore. The taxi picked him up. The driver saw the clock in the window... The window!
What are you staring at, Mike?
The grocery store over there. Inspector, call a cab and get the driver who picked up Jack Holmes.
In just a moment, we'll return to Mike and Phyllis.
Well,
A few minutes ago, we mentioned some of the advantages of Union Oil's spark plug service. As a featured part of this service, the Minutemen also inspect your ignition cables. These cables are the small, fine wires which deliver electricity to the spark plugs. Normally, they give little trouble. But if anything happens to them, if they get broken or frayed, or if the insulation is damaged, even brand new spark plugs won't help your driving. In other words, a faulty ignition cable will leak electricity. And by the time the charge gets to the spark plug, there isn't enough juice left for the rich, full spark needed for complete combustion. So for a careful check and double check on your car's firepower, have a Union Oil Minuteman service your spark plugs and ignition cables. You'll get honest, accurate work, and you'll notice the increased power and snap from your engine as soon as you drive away. You'll find Union Oil Minuteman ready to serve you wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. It's a few minutes past midnight. At a lonely street corner in the commercial district, Mike, Phyllis, and Inspector Faraday are talking to a scared little taxi driver.
Look, fellas, it's just like I said in court. I'm cruising along here and I see this guy.
The inspector and I know that, Smitty. Now, we just want you to show us. Now, do exactly as you did that night.
Yeah, cruise down the street and pretend you're picking up Jack Holmes.
And we'll get in the back seat and ride along.
Okay, okay, climb in.
Here, darling, come in.
Thank you.
All right, turns this corner here, see? Yeah. And I mosey in along when I spots him crossing the street. He waves at me, so I slows down. I stops right about here.
Jack was standing in the middle of the street. You opened the door. Which one?
The right one. He climbs in and gives me the address.
Well, go ahead. Open the door, Smitty.
See, ain't you got no imagination?
Now, Smitty, when did you see the clock?
Right now, when I leans over to close the door. Everybody's in the window, see? All lit up with neons.
Okay, look at it. What time does the clock say?
Gee, it's just like that night. 12:15.
Mike, you were right.
He made the same mistake all over again.
Look at it again, Smitty. Look hard. Now, come on, look hard.
What do you mean, look hard? The clock says, hey, there's something screwy. The numbers, they're backwards.
Right, Smitty, right. You're not looking at the clock. You're looking at the reflection in the grocery store window.
The real clock is across the street in the drugstore.
The drugstore clock reads 11:45, but the reflection looks like 11:45. 30 minutes difference, Smitty.
Gee, I got a sworn. Say, I did swear. You ain't gonna pinch me, are you?
No, Smitty. Now, are you willing to do something for us?
Me? Yeah, sure. Anything, fellas.
All right. We're gonna pick up 3 passengers. And one of them is the murderer.
Folks, here's the office.
Right.
Mr. Shane, I doubt we'll find anything in here that the police haven't already gone over.
Well, they had the wrong slant, Mr. Phillips. You see, someone planned to steal those diamonds, but they needed a fall guy, Jack Holmes. So they faked the shortage in his account books. Then they called him that night, very indignant at discovering his dishonesty.
Just a minute. I was the one who found him out.
Shut up, Ann.
Jack said he wanted to check back through his records. He didn't leave till 11:45. About midnight, the thief came here and stole the diamonds. The night watchman surprised the thief and was killed.
Then the cab driver blundered about the drugstore clock, and Jack was really on the spot. For the killer, it was a beautiful out.
Janet discovered the mistake this afternoon. She told it to Bauer. He checked her story. When he discovered Janet was dead, he tried to tell me what Janet told him. That's why he was killed.
Oh, that's rubbish. Bauer ran away from the inspector. Why? He must have had a reason.
He had. He wasn't ready to talk yet. You see, there's one detail we didn't tell you people. Bauer was a detective himself.
He was what?
Oh, yes, yes. Hired by the insurance company to find those diamonds.
You mean that he was... What? Do you think he found the diamonds?
I'm sure he didn't. If we can step inside the office, Mr. Phillips, I'll show you why. Now, Bauer had a suspect, but it was the wrong one. He did know, however, that Jack was innocent. And when he telephoned me, the same call you listened in on, Miss Russell... The killer knew he was trapped, unless...
I don't believe it. I didn't hear anything on that phone.
Oh, yes, you did, Miss Russell. You ought to have recognized it. Now, perhaps you will now.
Mr. Shane, stop this cat-and-mouse business.
Please, please. That clock on the bookcase there, in 5 seconds, is going to strike the hour. Now, listen. One, two, Three.
This is fantastic.
Four. Well, distinctive chimes, aren't they? This is the same clock I heard strike while I was talking to Bauer on the phone. He called from this very room. There was only one man who knew where I was who could tell Bauer where to phone me. Mr. Phillips.
Me? You're insane.
Am I? Bauer told you Jack was innocent. You sat there in your chair and heard him say to meet me at the old Dutch windmill at 10:30. So you killed him.
He trusted the wrong person, just as Janet did. She came to you, told you about the drugstore clock. You had to stop her tongue. You poured her a drink from this water jug on your desk with poison in the glass.
You have anything to say to that, Mr. Phillips?
No. No, nothing.
I thought not. All right, Inspector.
Oh, come on in the house, kid.
Huh?
Mrs. Faraday will be glad to fix us some eggs and coffee.
Oh, no. It's pretty late, Faraday. I think we all better get to bed. Look at Phil here. She's almost asleep.
I am not. I was just thinking. How did you know, Mike, that the clock you heard over the phone was in Philip's office?
Oh, I heard it the first time we went there, dear. It just took me a little while to get it placed in my memory.
Oh. Clocks ran all through this case, didn't they? The watchman's clock stopped at 12:10. The drugstore clock that convicted poor Jack. The office clock that caught the murderer.
Yeah, sometimes a clock can tell more than the time of day.
Oh, Mike, that's corny. But I knew you'd say it. I was just waiting for it.
Well, I guess Michael's entitled to a little corn off the cob tonight. That was neat thinking, my boy. A clock reflected in the window and the hands reversed by 30 minutes. Doubt if I'd have thought of it myself.
Oh, Faraday, please, Mike's ego.
Huh?
Besides, I think I know why he's so leery of clocks lately.
Oh, now listen here, honey, if you mean yes,
go
sir,
on,
please.
Phil, let's have it.
Well,
no,
Mike
no.
had a date with me for 6 o'clock, and he was an hour late.
No, Angel, please,
and
no,
guess
no.
what his alibi was?
What?
He thought he saw a clock that said 5 p.m. It was a grocery scale with 5 pounds of potatoes in it.
This is Mike Shane again. On June 4th, we come on the air 1/2 hour earlier. Remember now, that's not next Monday night, but the Monday for following, June 4th.
Tune in again next week at 8:30 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as Inspector Faraday. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle.
Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present... The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. Many an exciting case crosses the desk of our detective friend, Mike Shane. Right now, there's something special on that desk. Bending over it are Mike, his assistant Phyllis Knight, and Inspector Faraday. Shh, watch. Mike frowns grimly. Then slowly, carefully, he turns the next page of Lear magazine.
Oh, no.
Mike, where did they get that picture of you?
Oh, no. A day from the life of Mike Shane, San Francisco's sophisticated sleuth. Oh, anything for a story. If they were going to write about me, why didn't they interview me?
What are you kicking about? It's publicity. That super sleuth, that maestro of the clue, that glamour boy of detectives.
Yeah. Hey, here's a picture of both of us. Hmm. Handsome detective inspects scene of society murder.
Oh.
The willowy damsel on his left is Mike's current heart in... Hey, current... I like that.
Sure. It seems Mike is a wizard with the ladies. But read all about it on page 7.
I'm packing my bags and heading for the mountains.
Spare the suitcase. This may be a client.
Oh.
Hello? Yes, this is his secretary. I'm sorry, he's busy right now.
Who is it?
Oh? Oh, yes, yes. When?
Who is it?
Shh. Tonight. 7:30. Well, I'm sure he'd be delighted to come.
Honey,
yes?
I'd be delighted to what? What?
Shh. Certainly. Certainly, I'll tell him. Thank you very much, Miss Melton. Goodbye.
Now, what have you got me into?
Your magazine story is paying dividends already, Mr. Shane. You and I are going to attend one of the exclusive parties of Miss Sherry Melton.
Oh, no, not that sob, sister.
But, of course, she gives such different parties. And her newspaper column, why, she might write you up, too.
Yeah, well, I can skip that.
Kids, I don't like this setup. I don't like it at all.
You can say that again.
No, Mike, you don't understand. I'm invited to the same party.
You? Huh?
Yeah, she called me up. I told her I liked parties, but being inspector of homicide, I never know about my evenings. Then she said I had to come because she was going to recreate a murder.
Oh, one of those things.
Mike, I'm leery of this sort of stuff. Something always goes wrong.
What do you mean?
It seems someone always gets hurt.
Well, but why is she doing it? What's her reason? What goes?
Not what, darling. Who goes? And the answer? We do. You know something? This is a real party, and it's such an attractive house. Don't you think so, huh, Mike?
My collar's too tight. I told you I can't wear a tuxedo. I feel like a pallbearer.
Ah, Mr. Shane. Why, you're much handsomer than in that magazine. You should wear a tuxedo on every case.
Miss Melton, this is my... Well, this is Miss Phyllis Knight.
How do you do, Miss Melton?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, come on into the lounge. I want you to meet everybody. You know, the party tonight is just a mad inspiration. The other day, I was having lunch with Freddie. Oh, you know Freddie, the senator from Kansas or Florida or someplace. And I said, darling, I'm going to give a party. And, oh, wait, here's a man I want you to meet. Sherwood.
Yes, my little butterball.
Miss Knight, this is Sherwood Armstrong.
Oh, the mystery story writer. How do you do?
Rather bored up to this moment, but now I see possibility.
Sherwood, before you ask her out onto the balcony to talk over her story ideas, you better check with Mr. Shane here.
I'm glad to know you, Mr. Armstrong.
Wish I could say the same, sir. I've always admired your ability, and now you're... good taste.
Oh, go away with you, you wretch. I want these people to meet somebody really important.
Well, I'll be back.
Oh, there's our man, the one with the big glasses and bushy hair.
Hmm?
Dr. Kaler.
Yes?
Dr. Kaler, Michael Shane and Miss Phyllis Knight.
How do you do?
How do you do, madam? Mr. Shane.
Dr. Kaler studied psychology in Vienna. And he writes all those fascinating books on dreams and why people commit murder.
Oh, Miss Melton, please.
Of course, we've all heard of you, Doctor. One of our best criminologists. Mike, you must read some of his books.
Yes, I must.
Sherry, may I see you a moment, please?
Oh, Ray, I almost forgot you. Ray and I used to work on the same newspaper in Chicago. Look, darling, I want you to meet a publisher.
Dr. Kaler, I'd love to read some of your books. You must tell me which one to start on first.
You are very kind, madam, but I'm afraid you would find them very technical and perhaps dull.
Oh, no, no. And if I can't understand what you mean, I'll ask Mike to explain it to me. He's a wonderful student, you know. You should see his library.
You really should, Doctor.
Huh? He's got a complete file of Esquire.
Faraday. Well, I was wondering where you
were. Oh, get you. Tuxedo and patent leather shoes. by the way, Doctor, how are you coming with that next book?
Very well indeed, thank you.
Well, then you two know each other.
Oh, sure. Dr. Kaler's helped me out with several cases. Now, jealous, are you?
Oh, of course.
Wait a minute. Miss Melton's trying to say something.
We are now going to have a buffet supper. After that, I have a surprise for you. I won't tell you what it is, but I'll give you a hint. It's murder. Quiet, everybody. Quiet, please. I've brought all of you upstairs to this bedroom because we're going to play a game.
Oh, I don't care what Faraday says, Mike. This is going to be fun, huh?
Now, I want four of my guests to pay particular attention. Inspector Faraday.
Yes.
Mr. Shane.
Yes.
Dr. Kaler.
I'm ready.
And Sherwood Armstrong. Sherwood, will you look around this room and tell us what you see, besides people?
Well, a double bed. Mm-hmm. Right. Nightstand. Mm-hmm. Telephone. Mm-hmm. Two chairs and a bureau.
Yes. Wow. Does anything about it look familiar to you?
No.
How about you, Dr. Kaler?
It's a complete mystery.
Inspector Faraday?
Well, the arrangement and spacing of furniture does look familiar to me. Reminds me of the bedroom of a man who was recently murdered.
You're right, Inspector. The bedroom of John Hines.
Oh, yes.
I've arranged everything to duplicate his bedroom. And tonight, we're going to reenact the murder.
Mike, that killing's never been solved.
As you all know, I like to give unique parties. So I've invited four famous crime experts here tonight to give us their own solutions of this unsolved mystery. Mr. Shane, do you know the details of the case?
Well, fairly well. It happened about 2 months ago. John Hines was a rich old miser. He was found shot to death in his bedroom with the doors and windows locked from the inside. The only suspect was his secretary, and he had a watertight alibi.
Is that right, Inspector?
It is.
All right. Now, you, Dr. Kaler, will be John Hines. Oh. Lie down on the bed, please. Oh, now, hurry up. Don't be so shy, Doctor.
All right.
And you, Sherwood, you will be the killer. Stand outside the door till we call you.
Well, this is very exciting.
Yes.
Now, as Inspector Faraday tells us what happened that night, Dr. Kaler and Sherwood will act it out for us. Now, if you please, Inspector.
Well, it's about midnight. John Hines is in bed, probably asleep. Doors and windows are locked. Somebody comes to his hall door.
All right, Sherwood.
Hines thinks it's his secretary. He gets out of bed, goes to the door. He unlocks and opens it. The killer enters. At first, there's no struggle. No outcry.
Oh, careful, Dr. Kaler. Hmm? Put on your glasses. You can't see where you're going.
Of course not, madam. Neither could Mr. Hines. If he had worn his glasses, he would have seen it was not his secretary.
Correct, Doctor. The killer advances into the room, demands the old man hand over the cash he has hidden in the house. The old fellow refuses. The killer insists. He raises his gun and then...
What's that? Mike!
We'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane and Phyllis Knight in just a moment. Simply because your automobile engine is rated at a certain horsepower doesn't mean it's delivering that rate. Worn or burned out spark plugs, for example, can actually cut down the horsepower of your engine even at full throttle. You see, high compression engines demand complete, instant firing. If any of your spark plugs are worn or improperly adjusted, you get a weak, sputtering fire which fails to ignite all the gasoline. So serious is this loss that engineering tests prove faulty spark plugs can waste
one tank full of gasoline out of every 10. So, friends, if you're not absolutely certain your spark plugs are firing properly, why not play safe and have your Union Oil Minuteman check them? The performance of each separate plug is accurately measured on a scientific tester, and you can see the results for yourself. If your plugs are dirty, the Minuteman will clean and adjust them to the proper setting. If they're burned or worn out, he can furnish you with a new set. Union Oil spark plug service takes but a few minutes and costs but a few cents, a cost you'll soon save in extra mileage. You'll find Union Oil Minutemen ready to serve you wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. And remember, next Monday night, Michael Shane comes to you 1/2 hour earlier, 8 o'clock instead of 8:30. An unsolved murder is being reenacted at Sherry Melton's society party. Suddenly, at the very climax of the scene...
Mike! Mike!
Everybody stay where you are!
Who fired that shot?
Armstrong did. He had the gun. I saw him.
Don't be ridiculous, Ray. I was just faking a gun with my pipe.
Please, is anyone hurt?
Oh, no. No, only your dignities. 4 famous crime experts, and they don't know a fake gunshot from the real thing.
What? You mean it was a phony?
Of course. I slapped this yardstick here on the bed pillow.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Very amusing. A perfect example of mass psychology and suggestion.
Now let's get on with the crime. You've been shot, Dr. Kaler, so stretch out on the floor.
Yes, perhaps like this beside the bed.
Oh, that's perfect. You make a very convincing corpse, Doctor. And now, Inspector, if you'll just go on.
Well, there's nothing more to tell. The killer didn't find the money he was after, so he slipped out of the house again.
A perfect crime, eh? Well, if the police couldn't solve it, I can.
Right.
At least I will in my next book. That's where a writer has it all over.
Oh, we'll solve it, Mr. Armstrong. In fact, just this evening, I got a fresh angle on the case, which I can't tell anyone yet.
Wow. That means a neat headline. Sherry Melton's party gives police answer to a puzzling murder.
Oh, always the news, Hawk Ray. But meanwhile, let's play my game. You 4 masterminds have 30 minutes to solve the mystery. You're each to go to a different room so you can't compare notes. In 30 minutes, we'll vote who has the most exciting solution. And the prize, champagne, of course.
Hurry up, Mike. We've got just 10 minutes to go.
Oh, honey, of all the dimwit stunts, this is it.
Come on.
We can spend all night dreaming up solutions, but none of them will be right. Crimes aren't solved by slapstick.
It's just a game.
Oh.
Think up something really dramatic. I want you to be brilliant tonight, Mike. We've got a famous criminologist and a mystery story writer. Show them what we can do.
Oh, we? What was that?
Mike, what was that?
Sounded like outside. Come on.
Mike, it's an accident or something outdoors.
Let's go.
I'm coming too. It can't be an auto smash-up. There's nothing on the street.
Sounded closer to the house. Anyway, maybe here on the ground.
Can I help, gentlemen?
I don't know, Doctor. We got to search the garden. I got a flashlight in my car.
So have I, Inspector. I'll get it.
Okay, let's spread out.
Search both sides of the house.
Right, I'll take the left wing here.
No, Angel, not you.
But, Mike, I want to.
No, you're not going to prowl around through bushes in the dark. Now, go on, beat it.
All right, you old worrywart.
Who's that? Answer me. Who is it?
An elk looking for his lodge.
Oh, Faraday. Well, did you find anything on your side?
Nah, too dark. Ray was supposed to bring me his flashlight. I got tired of waiting.
Well, come on. Let's go get our own flashlights.
Mike? Inspector? Where are you?
Coming.
Maybe we're just chasing our own tails. This is another one of that woman's party gags.
It isn't. It isn't, Faraday.
Huh?
What I just found doesn't belong at any party.
Found what?
On the running board of Faraday's car. A dead body.
Stand back, everybody. We can't see what we're doing.
Looks like he was knocked out first and then strangled with his own tie.
Oh, but who would want to kill Ray and why?
What was he doing on my running board? He said he was going to get the flashlight from his car.
Well, that's fairly simple, Inspector. Miss Melton says that's his sedan right behind yours. Looks like a little. But it's the same make, model, and year.
Sure, he thought he was getting into his own car.
Did Did any of you people see anybody come near this car?
Not me.
Only Miss Knight. We were all looking for the cause of that crash.
Oh, I forgot. I found the cause.
Huh?
Here's what's left of it.
Looks like a table lamp.
An expensive one, too. It was at the end of the hall upstairs. Somebody must have thrown it out the window. The cook found it in the flower box.
That's it. Smashed on purpose to get us outdoors.
But why? I'm the only person Ray knew in town. I invited him here to the party so he wouldn't be lonely. I invited him to his death.
No one saw the killer. No one has a motive. Where do we go from here?
First off to the telephone. I got to call headquarters.
Just a minute, Inspector.
Phil, stay here and see that nobody touches the body.
All right, Mike.
Now, Faraday, what is it you know about the murder of John Himes? What is it the killer's afraid of?
Huh? I don't get you, Mike.
Did you take a good look at Ray Rogers' body just now?
Of course.
No, you didn't. Not a good look. Ray Rogers was just about your height. He had the same stooped shoulders, same gray hair.
Holy jumpy. And he was getting into my car.
Exactly. Somebody made a mistake, Inspector. Somebody wants to kill you.
This is the window right here, Mr. Shane. You can see it's still raised.
Mm-hmm.
The lamp fell into the flower box on the ground floor.
Yeah, but it's so smashed up. And you've handled it. I guess fingerprints are out.
But we know that the killer was here on the second floor. Miss Melton, can you place everybody at the moment you heard the crash?
Well, no. I was in my bedroom fixing my hair.
And where is your bedroom?
Through this door here. Oh, but Sherwood, you were in the room across the hall.
Take it easy, Sherry. You put me in there because of the contest. I was cooking up a solution for the murder. Of John Himes.
Well, how about you, Dr. Kaler? You were in the next bedroom down the hall.
I cannot oblige, madam. I also was deep in thought.
Well, I guess no one saw the man then. The inspector and Mr. Shane were downstairs, so were all the other guests.
As a writer of murder thrillers, I'd say the man came here with no idea of killing.
Hmm?
Ray was strangled with his own tie, so the man was without a gun.
You assume the unknown, Mr. Armstrong. The victim was strangled, which is a masculine technique in murder. Therefore, a clever woman with a strong arm might choose that very method.
Yes, a red herring. That's very clever, Dr. Kaler.
Miss Melton, I know you're famous for unusual parties, but why did you decide to reenact a murder tonight?
Why, it was just an inspiration of mine. Then Sherwood suggested we do the case of John Himes.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed the old man once, and yes, I even covered his inquest for my paper.
I see. Sherwood Armstrong suggested it. When we entered your contest, you asked all of us if the room and furniture looked familiar. You, Mr. Armstrong, said not at all.
Well, that was just an act. Sherry and I knew you'd made sketches of the actual scene, and we wanted to trip you up if we could and get a laugh.
But why did you pick the particular murder of John Himes?
I knew him. He was a fan of mine, read all my books.
So you and Miss Melton both knew him.
That is hardly a crime, Inspector. I, too, knew Mr. Himes. We were members of the same club. However, it is disturbing that they should choose that particular unsolved crime. As a psychologist, I know the subconscious desire of every killer to confess his murder. Some return to the scene, some even talk about it to strangers. The criminal subconscious feels cheated of the drama, the notoriety which comes with his confession or capture.
Look here, I don't like the drift of this talk.
Well, I apologize, my friend. I'm always going off into a lecture. I'm sure neither of you is guilty. None of us is. We have no motives.
Ah, here come my boys. Well, it's about time. You ready, Mike?
All set. Honey, get your coat.
Are we leaving?
Yes, we are. The answer to Ray Rogers' death isn't here. It's in a house that's been padlocked for 2 months.
Place is dusty.
Did you expect John Himes' ghost to meet us with a vacuum cleaner?
If I remember right, this is the bedroom. Yeah, it is. We've left everything in place. Nothing's been changed.
The old guy was a miser, all right. Not enough furniture for a dollhouse.
Inspector, you told us tonight you had a new idea about this case. What was it?
That's the blood stain over there, Mike, in front of the telephone stand.
Inspector, what was it? Maybe it's our solution.
Don't bother him, honey. Hey, there's the print of a shoe here on the edge of the blood.
Yeah, the killer made it. Wore tennis shoes. We tried to trace it.
How about fingerprints?
All identified. Well, except for one. Probably an old print. Maybe some visitors. Couldn't match it up with our files anyway.
You said his secretary lived with Himes. You sure of his alibi?
Positive, Phil. Nice young fella. He got a phone call in the afternoon that his uncle was dying down at Carmel. He got to Carmel in the evening, and it turned out to be a fake call. The murderer just wanted him out of the way.
Well, he could have sneaked back that night and...
No, he had witnesses. In fact, he telephoned long distance about midnight to tell Himes he'd be back in the morning.
Yeah, I remember it now. The operator said somebody answered the phone but didn't say a word. Just hung up.
Yeah. We figure the murderer picked up the receiver to hear who was calling. He cleaned the receiver afterwards and put it back. That's when he stepped in the blood.
It doesn't add up, though, Inspector. There's only one shoe print. Now, he couldn't possibly stand here and reach over to the phone on that table. It's too far.
Well, does it matter?
Wait a minute. Let me try something. If I put one foot on the bloodstain here, and then my knee on this chair, I can... Yeah. Now I can reach it.
Say, come to think of it, that's where we found the stray fingerprints. Right where you got your hands right now, on the back of that chair.
Okay, now we're clipping coupons. That fingerprint belongs to the killer of John Himes and Ray Rogers.
All right, but whose print is it? The inspector doesn't know.
Well, we'd better know, and in a hurry. The murderer tried to get Faraday once tonight. He'll try again, and the next time, who knows?
In just a moment, we'll rejoin Mike and Phyllis in their adventures. A few minutes ago, we mentioned some of the advantages of Union Oil's spark plug service. Now, as a featured part of this service, the Minuteman will also inspect your ignition cables. These are the small, thin wires which deliver electricity to the spark plugs. Naturally, if any of them are defective, even brand new spark plugs won't receive enough juice for proper firing. In other words, a faulty ignition cable will leak electricity. So for a complete, accurate check on your car's firepower, have the Minutemen service your spark plugs and ignition cables. You'll notice the increased power and snap in your engine as soon as you drive away. You'll find Union Oil Minutemen ready to serve you wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. It is midnight. Mike, Phyllis, and Inspector Faraday are at headquarters. Mike and Phyllis are bent over a desk studying a police file.
No luck, kids.
Huh?
Boys, recheck those fingerprints. None on record.
But we've got to have it, Faraday. Your life may depend on it.
All right, there are 130 million people in the United States. Shall I ask every one of them to mail me their prints?
Oh, easy, Inspector, easy.
Well, we're stymied. That's all there is to it.
Well, we'll keep on trying. Phil and I have been going through the coroner's report here. So far, nothing new.
The bullet entered skull immediately below right ear. Death was almost instantaneous. Deceased fell to floor in position shown in photographs. The eyeglasses held in his left hand were crushed and embedded in his palm. In the opinion of the doctors...
Hey, wait a minute. Hold it. What was Himes doing with the eyeglasses in his hand? He was nearsighted.
Oh, we covered that at the party tonight, Mike. He probably never put his glasses on. That's why he mistook the killer for his own secretary.
Why do we have to assume that? Why not the opposite?
Opposite? What do you mean?
Well, perhaps Himes was taking his glasses off.
So what? Does it make any difference?
Does it make any difference? Look, Faraday, look. All we need to get this killer are three things. A pair of tennis shoes, a set of fingerprints, and an address.
That's all. Just sit down and write ourselves a letter to Santa Claus.
No. We'll get the fingerprints from the police files.
But we just looked.
Not everywhere, Inspector. We'll get the address from the phone book and the tennis shoes at that address.
Well, party doesn't sound quite as lively as it did a few hours ago.
Mike, that paper sack, everybody will know their shoes. Carry it like a bottle of champagne.
Quiet, here comes our hostess.
Well, at last. We thought you'd never get back. My guests want to go home.
Oh, they can shortly. Where are they?
In the bar, most of them.
Sheer escapism, gentlemen. Personally, I prefer this book of poetry.
Shakespeare's sonnets. How nice.
What's wrong with a copy of Sherwood Armstrong? Any luck, boys?
Well, I think so. How about it, Inspector?
Dr. Kayla, you're an expert on fingerprints. I have on these cards two sets of fingerprints. Will you examine them and tell us if they're identical?
Certainly. This whorl here and the lines. They're identical.
Do you recognize them?
No.
Mr. Armstrong, do you recognize them?
No, I don't.
And Miss Melton?
Why, no, but I'm not an expert.
May I ask where you got these prints?
From the back of a chair in the bedroom of John Himes. The second card is from the file of honorary members of the police force.
Oh, I mean, isn't that strange?
You were about to say, Miss Melton, that you, too, have been an honorary policeman for the past 3 years?
Yes. Oh, but surely you don't think that I
never did like the idea of your parlor entertainment, Miss Melton. When I came here tonight, I expected that something might go wrong. Or at least that the murder of John Himes might be present.
Now, just a minute, Inspector. I think you're going
to... I told you people I had a new angle on the murder. Actually, I didn't know a thing. It's an old trick making the murderer think you have the answer. He'll stampede and give himself away.
Which is exactly what happened. The killer tried to remove the inspector, but he made a mistake out there in the dark. He got the wrong man. Now, I have here in this paper bag a pair of tennis shoes worn by the murderer. May I ask you, gentlemen, what size shoes you wear?
A number 9.
Also a 9.
I see. But the night you killed John Himes, you wore an 8.5, Dr. Kayla.
The night I... Sir, this is a joke.
Is anyone laughing? The sole of this left shoe shows traces of blood. The blood of John Himes. The blood you stepped in when you answered the phone in that bedroom.
But no, they are not my shoes. I do not play tennis.
You bought them because they were noiseless, Doctor. We found them in the closet in your room at your club.
And the fingerprints are from your honorary police card.
You convicted yourself, Doctor, when you reenacted the crime. You pointed out to us that Himes mistook the visitor for his own secretary because he hadn't put on his glasses. The crime was so vivid in your memory that you unconsciously repeated it to the last detail. Your own subconscious was what trapped you, Doctor.
Golly, Mike, I wish that magazine had waited a few days. But it really has something to write about. Mike Shane outwits famed criminologists.
Well, I'd say the honors go equally to our friend and companion, Inspector Brown.
I don't know. But all I did was to smoke him up with a big wiseacre.
No, what gets me, kids, is why Kaler did it. He hardly knew John Himes. He had no motive.
He told us the motive, honey. His own vanity. The great criminologist commits the perfect crime. It's like a case out of the last book he published.
Mike Shane, you didn't tell me you'd read any of his books.
Oh, every one of them, honey. And I can show you a book at my apartment he wrote back in 1937. And on one of the pages I scribbled, "Someday this man's going to commit a murder."
Oh, and I thought I was the only one who suspected him.
What? Oh, now look, Angel.
Why, you were draped on Kayla's arm all evening. What, Dr. Kayla, how clever of you. Shakespeare's sonnets. How utterly wonderful.
Oh, I was just playing up to him. I knew.
Oh, you did? How?
Mike Shane, I suspect any man who parts his hair in the middle.
This is Mike Shane again.
And this is Phyllis.
Both reminding you that next Monday evening we'll be on the air 1/2 hour earlier. Same night, same station.
Remember, won't you? Mike and Phyllis at 8 o'clock next Monday.
Good night, all.
Tune in again next week at 8 o'clock for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective. Starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as Inspector Faraday. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Complete your roofing project now and save big at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements. Owens Corning shingles are the number one brand trusted by contractors. Choose from over 40 options and get a limited lifetime warranty and up to 130 miles per hour wind warranty. Save big on Owens Corning shingles. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.